Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
And a good Friday, everybody. It is DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. And for those of you that are struggling to remember what day of the week it is, because let's be honest, for the most part, they just all blend in together. You've made it to the end of another very, very long week. It is Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday.
That's right. And if not for the music, we might not know that. So, Rick, we say good morning, and hopefully you guys are safe and sound, and we make it through yet another day and start another weekend here on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. It is another day, and we're going to grind through it. We're going to battle through it. Lucky for me, though, I woke up this morning to the I didn't wake up, actually, so I came out of the gym to the delicious aromas of one Cassandra DiPietro's homemade, freshly baked bread.
How are you guys not 312 pounds?
No, we will. No, you can't see me. We will. I got a mustache that's grown over my lip. I may have put on a couple LBs, but it is Carb Fest 2020 right now.
I mean, Chris, do you think when we see Rick that he's going to be like nominated to go on The Biggest Loser? Everything he tells us is about fresh bake this and bake off this and how they're eating this and that. I mean, he's going to be enormous when we see him.
Well, if he's going to be nominated for The Biggest Loser, I'm going to be on the show with him because my girl made oxtails last night and they were delicious. And all we've been doing is sitting around and eating our faces off. So I'm right there with Rick, man. When you're dealing with uncertain times, Dave, you got to have comfort food. And comfort food is not necessarily the best for your figure. Just saying.
I can't help myself. I'm like a snackopotamus, dude. I'm like White Goodman at the end of dodgeball. Like just, I mean, snack fest. I can't help it.
And I don't think we've ever planned meals more, right? I mean, have you ever in your life planned more for any meal than you have now? I mean, at 9:30 in the morning, Sherry's like, "What do you think you're going to want to do for dinner?" We would never have that conversation regularly.
Yeah, but see, Dave, and this is, I'm glad that you're getting to experience this, because this is exactly why I'm not upset that the NFL is going to have the draft. I'm not upset that the NFL says they're going to have, you know, the season as scheduled, because the meal, the prep for the meal, the dinner, that gets you through the day. It gives you something to look forward to. Like what usually gets me through the week, and this is, I'm not even joking, is Pancake Sunday, is whatever I'm going to eat on Sunday gets me through. Like I have something to look forward to. So now it turns into dinner, and just so happens yesterday for dinner I had to make a handmade spanakopita, and then I got yelled at.
Why would you get yelled at for making a handmade spanakopita?
Do you understand? Have you had a spanakopita?
Yeah, I have. Yes, I enjoy it very, very much.
Hold on, guys, you lost me. What is a spanakopita?
It's a spinach pie.
Yeah, and it's very thin crusty dough.
It's phyllo dough. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
How is it pronounced again?
Sometimes I'll call it a spankin' a pita if I'm feeling frisky.
Can you spell it, Dave?
Oh, I'm going to say S-P-A-N. The answer would be no. Spankopita. S-P-A-N-A-copita. Yeah,
well, Dave,
I know.
You could have said anything. I wouldn't know the difference. I didn't know what it was until a minute ago.
No, but it's
S-P-A-N-A-K-O-P-I-T-A.
Okay.
Spankopita.
And it's very thin crust, and when you take a bite of it, the crust kind of like crumbles all over the place.
It's labor intensive, is what it is.
All right, so what happened with the spanakopita?
Well, I was going to save this for observations, but I actually have. I mean, this is the creme de la creme of observations that I'll save. But this is just one of the ones that happens yesterday. She tells me in the morning that's what she would like. So she bought the phyllo dough. We had the spinach, the feta, and everything else. So I said, hey, no problem. I mean, I'm more than happy to do it. So anyone that's ever made a spanakopita, people that cook at home, Greek listeners, or if you've eaten it, it's phyllo dough. So in order to make it as the way Dave describes it, I got to take the phyllo dough, I have to put it in between two damp rags, and then phyllo dough is like really, really thin. So I got to take two sheets of phyllo dough at a time, put them in a baking dish, then I have to oil those two. Then I got to take two more, I got to put those down, I got to oil those two.
So this is very labor intensive.
So I got to go through like 2/3 of the phyllo dough on the bottom. Then I got to take the filling, which is spinach, egg, feta, onions, garlic. Then I got to put that in, and then I got to go back to the phyllo dough, and now two and two and two and oil and oil and oil. So Cassie looks at me yesterday. She goes, "You're not done yet?" I said, "Not done yet. You know, I'm taking two pieces of phyllo dough at a time. I'm oiling every layer of this thing." She goes, "Well, what am I going to do? What time am I going to eat?" I said, "Well, you're going to eat at 6 when it's done. It cooks for an hour. You'll eat at 6. She goes, "Ah, you know, we usually eat around 5:30. I said, "Well, what do you want me to do? I'm making a handmade spanakopita." She goes, "That, not even joke." She goes, "Maybe you should have started earlier."
Wow. I got to be honest. We have the Bob Crafts of the world. We have Oprah just donated $10 million, right? You have people that are tipping wait staff and curbside delivery people and people that bring it to your house. And people are really rising to the occasion. I got to be honest. I don't know who the Cassie is. I mean, between flushing down the toilet brush, blaming you, yelling at you about what's going on with the dinners, you're making probably one of the most difficult things to prepare. It's not like you're telling her, Cass, listen, we're going to eat at 9:45 tonight. You tell her you're going to eat at 6, and she storms off in a huff. What is happening with Cassie?
She's losing a little bit. I mean, yeah. She's homeschooling and everything else. I understand it. I mean, there's a lot of stress going on. But, I mean, it is one of her, and I've known this for the last 20 years, one of her fatal flaws in life is when she gets hangry, forget it. I mean, it's a wrap.
But there's no reason you should be getting hangry now. Chris, if anything, it should be the opposite. At a moment's notice of becoming hungry, you should stuff your face with any of the delicacies going on in that house.
No, you absolutely should. But, Dave, I don't like the tone that you're taking. It feels like there's a lot of judgment from you going toward Cassie. And as long as she's staying home, who are you to tell her how she's supposed to manage dealing with this pandemic?
Well, I think you're right, but here's how I break it down. Is I feel a special connection to Rick and to Cassie. So I feel like if I can call someone out or have judgment, it would be on her because of the close-knit bond that we do, in fact, have. But maybe it's not the kindest thing. Maybe I'm having the same thing. Maybe I'm having issues. I mean, I don't know. It's possible. I'm honest, and maybe I'm honest to a fault. So I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm just saying, like, this is now the third or fourth time we've heard that Cassie is usually stable and ironclad and nothing gets by and you know, locked in on things, has had moments of, I think you have to question what's going on.
Well, Dave, we already know how Cassie is without a virus or a global pandemic. Now yes. You have this thing that's ravaging the world out there. She's probably flustered a little bit. I can understand how she might lose her mind on occasion. I get it. Sometimes I feel like I'm going to lose my mind just staying in the house all day. I just feel like we need to have more positive vibes going out there, not negative vibes. Don't be critical, man. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, Rick, I apologize. My intent was
No, I appreciate it. Listen, I appreciate you taking my side and standing up for me. I mean, wait till you hear. I mean, it once.
Now, there's more to the story than that?
No, this is a completely separate story. I mean, this one's even worse. I mean,
also about Cassie.
Yeah, your head may explode.
What happens if Chris hears that next story and just he loses it on her? Because he's defending her to the hilt.
No, he'll lose it. I guarantee he'll lose it. That's why I saved it. I gave you a little taste, a little appetizer with the spanakopita. Which came out terrific, but I'll send you a picture. It was fantastic.
Now, how what time did you actually eat? Was it 6 o'clock?
It was 6 o'clock. Yeah, I mean,
and
it was
she
on the
shaking
table
her head
six.
As you guys were stuffing this freshly made spanakopita into your faces? Was she just like, you know,
no, she was. I mean, she didn't just stuff one piece in her face. I mean, she stuffed multiple pieces in her face. It was delicious, but I mean, it takes time. I'm not going to sit there and rush it. I'm going to do it the right way. And if we have to eat 15, 20 minutes later, then we're going to do it. And she's like, "Well, you guys eat then." I said, no, we'll wait. Like, the kids will all wait for you. 6 o'clock is not, I mean, this isn't, it's not 9:30 at night. We'll have plenty of time to digest. We can play our Uno and we'll be fine. Relax.
All right. So, let's get into the world of sports and 800-919-3776, of course. And it's a Friday. So kind of an anything goes kind of a feel to the show. So if you want to say hey or tell us someone that's helping others or anything like that, the phone lines are open. 800-919-3776. I saw the report. I think it was last week. Who could even keep things straight at this point, where Jason Williams had said cruise ship had the NBA postseason. I thought to myself, well, that's a little strange. But then I saw a report earlier today that maybe Las Vegas, maybe they just kind of lock down a quadrant of Las Vegas and they have all the teams go out there, stay in the differing hotels, lock them away, and have the postseason. Here's my take, guys. I don't think there's a wrong answer. Like, if you don't have a home court in the postseason, you don't have home court in the postseason. If it means that you were half a game out and you played one game less than the team in front of you for the eighth spot and you don't get in, those are the breaks. Like, I am not going to judge any of these leagues for if, when, where, if they don't come back, if they do come back. Rick, I am going to be as kind as I've ever been about the world of sports and the potential return moving forward.
Well, I suggested it a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't the cruise ship, but it was you know, two locations. And we were talking about the NHL, where you had the Eastern Conference in one location and the Western Conference in another location. And you had, you know, a hotel that you rented out, and it was only players and staff and whoever you needed to have there. What aggravates me, because I agree with you, I mean, if you're going to get creative, now's the time to get creative. Yeah. I mean, we just want to see the sports. But the athletes, and I think baseball is doing a good job. I know, talking to some of my buddies in the NHL, you know, they're willing to do whatever it takes. It's just, you know, some of the stuff you hear coming out of the NBA as far as, you know, God forbid we play games in front of empty arenas. God forbid, you know, we have to be in one generalized area with, you know, our families at home. I mean, it's going to be a sacrifice you're going to have to make to try to get these games, to get this season in. I get it. You don't want to be away from your families. But, I mean, I'm sure your families will be well taken care of while you're gone for however long it ends up being. You get eliminated in the first round, it's a couple weeks. I mean, you make a run to the finals, you're talking about potentially a month or two. But, I mean, there are plenty of people now. I'm sure the people that have to leave their families to go work the grocery store, or the people that have to leave their families to go work in the intensive care units, don't want to necessarily do it. But, I mean, desperate times call for desperate measures. You have to be willing to be a little bit flexible in these situations.
I don't think leaving their families is the biggest deal for the players. I mean, guys want to make their money, and you talked about how the NBA owners wanted to put some of the salaries in escrow and hold that in case there are no more games played this season. I think the biggest hurdle is figuring out logistically what makes sense, because we still can't get a consensus from public health officials as to the best way to try to contain this spread of this virus, other than staying at home and not interacting with anybody else. So obviously, if you're going to play games, you're going to be interacting with other people. There are going to be support staff involved. So you're just trying to figure out how can we go about trying to continue the NBA season and go into the postseason. What's the best avenue to go down? And, you know, whether it's the cruise ship or doing it in Vegas, I think this is one of those things where you're going to have to get everybody together and try to figure out what idea makes the most sense, and then have that approved by the doctors that you actually trust. But I don't think that anybody has any answers as to how best to pull this off right now.
Well, I think the reality of it is this. I don't think you can get any of these sports started necessarily if the biggest hurdle, and we're still not able to solve this part of the problem, is that if one of the players tests positive, that the entire team has to be quarantined. And until you can figure that part of it out, then it would make any sense to start this thing up.
Yeah, no, and that's a scary thought, because this thing is so virulent and so rampant, and it moves from body to body so quickly that, you know, you set it up and you plan it and you have everyone go out there and you play a few games, and then God forbid you have the Rudy Gobert, you know, of moving forward, then you have to just shut it down immediately. So yes, you have to get to the point where the spread of this thing is on the downside, and that's probably going to be weeks and weeks, if not still months and months. But my point was, I'm not criticizing anybody, and usually I'm the first to say I don't like this or this bothers me. Like, whatever these leagues decide, wherever they decide to play, if they lock down Vegas and they do it there, if they cancel the seasons, if they extend the postseason, if they say that instead of 16 teams, we're going to have 8 teams, we're going to limit, like, I'm going to be as easy as possible moving forward, because I think everyone gets the benefit of the doubt in what's going on.
No, I think everyone feels the same way. I guess my only point in saying what I just said was that that's not even a possibility. Like, the possibility to go into Vegas or wherever it is to play, you know, multiple double headers to try to get as many Major League Baseball games in as possible. Maybe you just say, oh, we'll start up the NHL playoffs. That's not even a possibility until you can find a way, if it's some kind of testing or it's safe for the players, that if one gets it, that you don't have to shut down the entire team. If that's still the reality, mm-hmm. that as soon as one guy tests positive, the entire team gets quarantined, then it doesn't make any sense to get anything started yet.
Yeah.
So, no, it doesn't make any sense. And here's, from the NBA standpoint, they have to be careful not to put these players at risk, but also not to put any unfair burden on the medical professionals and the health system as a whole, because you recognize that they're trying to contain the spread of this virus. If you're trying to play basketball games and as a result players or staff get infected, then what does that do to the local people that are in the medical profession? I mean, when you're trying to talk about fighting the virus versus playing games, it just doesn't seem like it's any comparison when we start talking about what the true priority should be. So I think that the NBA only gets the benefit of the doubt if they don't play games. If they do decide to play games, it's going to be hard not to open themselves up to scrutiny from the public.
Yeah, I think until you get to a point where this is somewhat treatable, And I mean, I think the hardest thing right now to kind of wrap your head around is how much differently this virus affects certain people. I mean, you have, you know, people that seem healthy that all of a sudden they can try. I mean, you know, 30-year-old men that get it seem healthy, and all of a sudden, I mean, they can't deal with it, as opposed to, I mean, look at Tony Baselli. Have you read that story?
Yeah.
Like, he's,
yeah.
I mean, he's pretty good shape. I mean, former professional athlete, one of the best that's ever done it. He gets it. I mean, he's in the hospital, I mean, on his deathbed, he thinks. His wife gets it. She gets right through it.
Yeah.
So until you get it to a point where it's not life-threatening, it's treatable, where you can look at it the same way as you look at the flu in professional sports, because you're not shutting down games for the flu. Like, flus go through, guys play through it. Until that becomes more of a reality, I mean, you're stuck in this holding pattern.
Now, I don't think we're anywhere close to ending this holding pattern. You know, I mean, best case scenario, we see sports, what are we, April 3rd today? Best case scenario, we see sports in what? Maybe June? Maybe?
I'd say maybe June, probably, yeah. Well, depending on what happens here over the next couple of weeks. And the other thing, too, is it's so, I mean, it's state to state, too. I mean, how it's affecting the different states.
Right.
In what situation your state is in. I mean, the same thing with the NFL draft.
But if people continue to go out and people continue to ignore what they're being told by public health officials, every state's going to look the exact same at some point in the not-so-distant future.
Well, according to the governor of Georgia, he wasn't sure whether or not
that's
it a certain way.
I mean, honestly, I can't even – it's embarrassing. It's sad. I mean, for him to come out yesterday and say that he's just learning that you can pass it on even if you're asymptomatic is – It's just unbelievable to me.
Yeah, I can't believe that's happening, Dave. I mean, but that's the thing that we talked about from the outset of this virus. Once it got to America, we were wondering, well, what's going to happen? We couldn't get a consensus from anybody that was going to be in a position to dictate policy as to how we were going to contain it. So that's the one thing that I'm worried about. And until that part of it gets figured out, I think it's going to be hard for any sports league to figure out how to proceed.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what happens with the NFL draft too, Dave, as far as how these things do it. Well, yeah, I mean, you saw the memo. I mean, it's no team is going to have an unfair advantage. But, I mean, what's happening in New York is different than what's happening, you know, all over the country and in all these different states, California and everything else. So, I mean, it may be feasible for whatever team to have, you know, five people in their offices to do it, but it may not be for the Jets or the Giants or whoever else.
Yeah, and it's all going to, I mean, it's a different draft than we've ever really had. And we're just going to have to kind of work around and do the best we can, but it's going to be very strange, that's for certain. Did you hear Adam Schefter? Adam Schefter adamant that he doesn't think the right thing to do is to hold the draft in a couple weeks.
I understand what he's saying, and I get it. I mean, the optics of it may not be great, especially with what's going to happen here over the next couple of weeks and when the draft is going to fall. But, I mean, my personal opinion is we said the same thing about NFL free agency. We went through that. It was a welcome distraction. I feel the same way about the NFL draft. You're not putting anyone at risk as far as spreading the virus. I mean, as long as you go about it the right way. And me personally, it would be nice to have a couple of days, a little bit of a reprieve of watching the news and everything else.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Rick. I think that they should proceed with the NFL draft because, you know, this is just something that's procedural. Ultimately, this is just an announcement of players that teams are selecting from the college ranks, and I don't think that puts anybody at any unnecessary risk. This is the NFL going about their day-to-day business. This is not them gathering thousands of fans because they already said that there will be no fans at the draft site. This is just going to be teams announcing the players that they select, and this gives all the sports fans a little distraction, and I think that does something for the psyche of the country when you have something that you can turn to watch on television other than something talking about the coronavirus.
And so that's what it comes down to for me, though, Dave. Tell me if you agree, because, I mean, there's only so much of the news I can watch. I mean, and then you just start getting depressed. I mean, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. When is this thing going to ever stop? I mean, even going to the grocery store the other day, I mean, for the next couple hours after I got home, I was shook, to be completely honest with you. I mean, we're sitting here where everyone's worried about the physical health of people. I think the other thing you need to take into account, especially the longer this thing goes on, is the mental health of people.
I think that's actually bigger for a lot of people, to be honest.
I agree with you.
Right? Because if you're not leaving the house, you're physically, As far as the coronavirus, you're going to be fine. If you and everyone are on complete lockdown, you're not going to wind up getting this thing. But this is something we've never seen. You don't leave your house for months. You know, you don't lock away and not get fresh air. And I know you can, but it's such a different normal that we've been experiencing. And let's be honest, we're what, 3 weeks in of potentially God knows how long. So just the unknown of how long this is going to last for has to be wearing on a lot of people.
Yeah, and I don't think you know, too. I mean, if you're the NFL, I think it was the same reason why, you know, the NBA and NHL were trying to get as many games in as possible, because you don't know what the next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or month is going to look like. So if you can take, I mean, if you can take one of the things like the NFL draft and get that done, it puts you in a better position moving forward that when this thing does clear up, then you can have, I mean, it's one less thing to worry about. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to all of a sudden postpone the draft and then it gets worse.
Sure.
Next week, and then the week after it's even worse. Then all of a sudden, when this thing does finally, we are through this and there is some semblance of normalcy, you still got to do the draft, and that puts you behind the eight ball as far as when your season can start.
And that's why I thought that the NFL should move forward, just because we don't know definitively that if you did delay the draft, anything would change. Like, that's what we've been saying all along. That's why I said earlier this week, Roger Goodell was doing the prudent thing, going about business as usual, because again, free agency and the draft are procedural things. You're not talking about large gatherings. You're not talking about getting the entire team together. You're not talking about fans being at risk. So I felt like that made a whole lot of sense. Now, when it comes to preparation for training camp in the regular season, we'll see where we're at that point. But right now, I think the NFL is doing the right thing by trying to go about business as usual. I heard the guys on the K-Show yesterday afternoon talking about it, and they're absolutely right. The NFL has the benefit of this thing happening in their off season and not during their regular season. If this was during the NFL regular season, the NFL would absolutely cancel games. So it's not like the NFL is being tone deaf, but I do think the NFL can go about its business in the off season without having the players and coaches and front office staff being gathered in one place.
Well, I don't think there's a right or wrong, but I don't think that Schefter's issue was the fact that it's putting people at danger. I think his issue was more, we have our country in a time of absolute crisis. And I'm not saying that he's right. I'm just kind of, you know, trying to hammer home the point that he's making. We're in a tremendous time of crisis. We have hundreds of people dying today. We're going to have thousands of people dying tomorrow. By the time we get to April 23rd, God knows how many people are going to perish. How bad of a look is it for the NFL that we're going to be like, with the third pick, Detroit will select... What?
Why would it be a bad look? Why is it a bad look? Because it's live TV?
No, I don't think it has
anything to do with live. So what's the difference between... Well, that could be the only difference. I mean, how many millions of people have watched The Tiger King? I mean, people are starving to watch things. The only difference is that it's live. If it's live and it's not a group of people gathered up and no one's at risk, there's no different than having it as something that's already been pre-taped.
And to your point, Rick, I mean, they're having WrestleMania this weekend. Now, granted, it's going to look a little different, but that's a sports adjacent event that's going to be televised. The UFC is trying to continue business as usual. So it's not like they're the only sport that's trying to move forward in the midst of this crisis. I think this is the time where folks need that little respite to have a little bit of entertainment, have a way to get away from the virus. So I don't see the downside of it from an optic standpoint. I just don't.
Santi, I know you're back there. I know you got a lot going on. Do you have the Schefter sound that we can hear so we can kind of react off of that? All right. So you take your time. Here's what we'll do. We'll take this call and then we'll get to Schefter in just a moment. Dave and Edison. Dave, you're next up on 98. Or first up, I should say.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
ESPN.
How you doing? It's a shame that tomorrow would be the Final Four. So I'm kind of depressed about that. But I got a question for you, Dave. Did you ever play the board games growing up, the Avalon Hills sports game, Status Pro Football, Status Pro Baseball?
The what game?
Status Pro Football, Status Pro Baseball.
No, I played Stratomatic as a kid, but I never heard of Status Pro.
Yeah, it's basically like Stratomatic, that they use player cards. They use cards instead of dice. So you pick a card, and it corresponds to, like, the player cards.
Mm-hmm. No, never
so
played
what
it.
Was,
not only have I never played, I never heard of it.
Okay, well, I got the basketball for the NBA, but what I did was I made it into an NCAA, and I did all the player cards for all 68 teams. And it's a shame because now I'm, like, more prepared for this tournament than any tournament, and there's, like, no tournament to play.
Yeah, but. Listen, I mean, I love the – and thanks for the call, Dave. Love March Madness, but drastic times call for drastic measures. And I don't think anybody's questioning why in fact we're not having this thing. All right, here he is, Schefter, very upset with the NFL for moving forward with the draft.
We all want to see the days where we have that distraction of football, but OTAs, that's not happening. Yeah. The offseason program, that's not happening. The draft is happening only through the sheer force and determination and lack of foresight from Phil, frankly. I mean, they are determined to put this on while there is carnage in the streets.
And that is that's Adam Schefter's take. And again, I don't have an issue with it going on, but I do understand what he's talking about, Rick. I do.
No, I understand what he's talking about. And I think that for me would have been a better argument against having free agency start when free agency started. Talking about, I mean, you know, the unemployment, people dying and everything else, and you start celebrating, you know, guys signing for, you know, $40, $50 million, whatever it ends up being. But I mean, the beauty of the draft is it's the celebration of, you know, these young men realizing their dreams. I mean, that's the kind of, don't you think that's the kind of inspirational stuff we need at this point?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think they need to do a good job of really, really hammering home like the stories of these guys this coming draft.
A lot of these guys have come from nothing, Dave.
Yeah,
from nothing.
Yeah.
From broken families. I mean, you hear the stories, guys being homeless, living in the car with their mother. And then all of a sudden they find a way because of sheer determination and physical talent to get themselves into a point where they can get drafted and they can, like James Bradbury said, first thing he's going to do is going to retire his mom. And those are great stories that would help lift the spirits, I think, of people that watch it.
We love those stories regardless. Like we are suckers for the human interest stories. I think ESPN, NFL Network, without a doubt, has to hammer home those stories more this draft than they ever have, Chris.
No, I think it would be cool, man, because the prospects aren't going to be at the actual draft location. So being able to have some footage of them behind the scenes at their homes with their families, like I just think that would be cool to see the raw emotion that they're going through, that they're experiencing the moment they find out where their football future is going to be. So I'm with Rick on this one. I think it would be great. I understand what Schefter's trying to say. But I still don't understand what the downside is on the optics of it. I still just don't get it. To me, it's just all positive right now as far as the NFL is concerned because I don't think you're putting anybody at risk.
I think the only negative is to the GMs and everyone else involved in making some of these picks.
Yeah, their job is harder.
But that's right. Yeah, it's going to be harder. But at this point, it's hard for everybody.
At least they're all on an equal playing field. Like Joe Douglas and Dave Gettleman, and I mean, you pick the GM. It's not like one guy has an advantage over another guy. They're all under the same constrictions here.
I don't disagree, and I think Chris feels the same way. I mean, it's not ideal. Everyone gets that. Well, I mean, we're not in an ideal situation right now. You make it work.
But, Rick, the reality is, guess what? Your job just didn't start a couple of months ago. You should have been scouting these guys the entire calendar year. That's where GMs make their money. They're putting together their teams. They're putting together their draft boards this time of year. But in terms of knowing their needs and knowing what prospects are going to be in the upcoming draft, that's something that starts well in advance of the beginning of the new league year in March.
You know what's amazing? I'm not sure if you guys heard this or not. So I'm watching PFT this morning, and Peter King was on, and they were talking about the draft and, you know, some of the obstacles, how there's a lot of GMs saying that, you know, as you get later in the rounds, you try to hit singles as opposed to, you know, hit home runs and triples or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It blew my mind. And he actually makes this point that the Cincinnati Bengals were infamous for this, where they had an awful scouting department, like barely any scouting department. So when they got into the later rounds, they would take the guy that had fallen in the draft because of whatever issue it was. You know, bad guy, injury related, but they had no idea who else to draft. So like, you know what? We'll just take the guy that was supposed to get drafted in the second round, but now is available in the fifth round.
Yeah. Does that surprise you even a little bit that would be the Cincinnati Bengals?
Rick, you're talking about the team that Vontaze Burfict started his pro career with.
When he said it, I was like, God, we give these people because they make so much money, we just give them the benefit of the doubt that they're really qualified to do these jobs. And there's a lot of them that aren't.
Well, why do you think that they never ever win?
Oh, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But just to hear it, I mean, it's like when, I mean,
I don't think we're trying to win, Dave. I'm going to be honest. I don't think the Cincinnati Bengals are trying to win.
So you think if they get 70,000 people in their stadium and they win seven games and they're somewhat competitive, they're very happy with that?
Isn't that what the Cincinnati Bengals have shown you in the modern era? Cincinnati Bengals don't spend big in free agency. They're not players in free agency at all. They're almost like the Green Bay Packers. The Cincinnati Bengals want to keep it real profitable. I don't think they really care about winning.
Those poor fans. I mean, could you imagine being a fan of a team that just, they're not even trying, they're not even concerned about winning?
No, I couldn't. Well, I mean, we kind of get a taste of that with the Mets a little bit. Like,
no,
we just
get
lucky once in a while.
The Mets were in the World Series in 2015. When was the last time the Bengals won a playoff game, Chris?
Oh, man, Dave, you're talking about, what, you got to go back to Carson Palmer?
I mean, No. Wasn't it? Did they win the playoff game?
They didn't win one with Andy Dalton.
No, but he got hurt, didn't he? And didn't the kid from Alabama win the game?
McCarron?
Didn't McCarron win the playoff? No.
The last time they won a playoff game is from Santee. It's 1991.
They haven't won a playoff game in 30 years.
They beat the Houston Oilers.
They beat a team that doesn't even exist anymore. That's how long.
They were doing the icky shuffle after that game, Dave.
Oh, my God. 91. That is unbelievable. All right. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN. New York. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. Rick, do you find that Santiago is turning into like a beautiful mind right now? Typically, he's working Knicks, he's working Rangers, he comes in, he can barely keep his head up. Now he's throwing out stats, he's got sound bites ready to go, he's got information that I can't believe. Like, he has raised the level of his game to a very high level.
No, he's focused, and not surprised at all. I mean, I started off with Santi. I mean, he was carrying us early, and he's just back to being who he is. I mean, guy had five different jobs going on. He was getting 4 hours of sleep.
But if that, some days.
I give him tons of credit, man. When I get a chance to finally see him, I'm going to give him a big, big, wet, sloppy kiss.
I don't know that that's going to be socially appropriate.
Yeah, I think
6 feet.
You can blow him a
kiss. When it's appropriate.
Yeah, but I don't think
I don't know if that will ever be appropriate.
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever embrace anyone again.
No. Just in general, 6 feet.
I'm a touchy guy.
But you're going to have to find new ways, new outlets.
Yeah, what do you think happens with the handshake at this point?
I think the handshake I think it's dead.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I don't know why it was ever a necessity, to be honest with you, anyway.
Actually, I'll tell you the first time that it hit home for me was a handshake when the Rangers played the Devils. I went to go shake Ken Danico's hand, and he was like, oh, no, no, no. That was when it hit home for me. Like, oh, this could be serious.
Yeah, you don't do something that Ken Danico doesn't want you to do. I'll tell you that right now. Ken used to skate around the ice whenever he took a penalty, and he used to yell at the referee, go, that's 2 minutes for being the strongest guy on the ice. That's what he would yell at the ref.
So what you're saying is he's a real killer out there.
Oh, yeah. You don't mess with him. Yeah, Kenny is. No. He's no joke. He plays in our charity Mikey Strong game. Guys still don't mess with him. You don't go near him.
So even with charity, he goes crazy.
He's chiseled.
Yeah, he's a beast, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and he wasn't joking. Like, he was the strong. I mean, between him and Scott Stevens.
Oh.
I mean, just animals.
So if you're going into a dark alley and you were prepared to fight, you would want him with you?
Oh, yeah. By the way, you know, Chris, you remember the old school Stairmaster? Like,
yes.
The old school one? Not like the revolving
stairs? No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Scott Stevens would do that for 45 straight minutes with no hands.
That's ridiculous.
Animal.
That is ridiculous.
So you think the elbow bump becomes the new way of greeting?
Yeah, I think the elbow bump, forearm bump, that's going to be the new thing, Dave.
Or how
maybe
about
back of the hand? Like a back of the hand slap?
No, because I think people are particular about hands because they, you touch your face with your hands. You know. I don't think people are going to go back to the handshake or the dap. I think it's going to have to be something else.
How about the
bow? What about the kid and play like tap of the foot?
I like that.
You slap feet.
That feels like you're doing too much. Plus, if you got nice shoes on and somebody else doesn't, it's just like you don't want them to mess up your kicks.
Or if you have bad balance, now you're falling over yourself.
But that only applies for you on this show.
Possibly. Yeah. But I don't think in society I'm the only one that would potentially struggle with smacking feet with someone.
Yeah, I think a forearm bump or an elbow bump is easier than tapping feet.
I like the bow. I appreciate the bow more than I ever have.
No, I don't agree. I wouldn't agree with that.
You don't like the bow?
Too formal. Yeah, the bow is too formal.
Yeah, it's too formal.
Well, how about it like a fancy event? Then you can bow.
I don't like it.
So you're going to bow?
Like you go to a wedding instead of a handshake, you a nice bow.
What if you just say nice to see you?
How about that?
Nice to see you. Like I appreciate you keep 3 feet in between you and the other person and just, hey, how are you?
Hey, how are you? Nice to see you. Maybe get back to, conversations.
Yeah. Back to the old school stuff where you look someone in the eye.
Where you can actually you don't go to dinner and then look at the different tables and there's no one talking. They're just sitting texting people on their phones. I had to yell at my guys. We had a team dinner. I had the guys. We had the team dinner and everyone was at a bunch of different tables. This was the first dinner I did. And the guys, 5, 6 at a table are sitting there eating dinner and all 6 on their phones.
It's
not
very
one
strange.
Of them.
That is
not
very
one of them
strange.
Talking. It drove me crazy. I'm like, the whole point of this dinner is to get to know your teammates. Like, let's chop it up a little bit. You checking your Instagram and texting everybody. Maybe that changes now.
Too crazy.
No, maybe that changes now, though. But maybe that changes now a little bit.
Maybe.
Because, you get back, you realize how much you miss being social. I mean, I did a house party last night with some of my hockey buddies. It was
awesome.
Oh, it was unbelievable, man. Just the bust chops, kind of bring yourself in the locker room a little bit. It was great.
Who looked the strangest?
Who looked the strangest?
Because there's no way.
Don't answer that question, Rick. That's a setup.
No, Paulie. No, Paulie looked the strangest. I would say our goalie, Paulie. He shows up. He got his connection was terrible. And he's got a winter hat on. He comes in with his chain hanging out of his white t-shirt. So what are you doing? Filming a gangster movie? What are we doing here?
Malibu's Most Wanted Part 2.
Yeah, then he's drinking Pedialyte. I'm like, what are you drinking Pedialyte for? He's like, I gotta keep
Pedialyte. Pedialyte.
Yeah, he's out of his mind. He's a goalie. He's nuts. He's probably doing up and downs in his garage. He's a savage.
Interesting.
This is what I'm dealing with.
Who would drink Pedialyte for fun?
He didn't want to cramp up, I guess. I don't know what he's doing.
Is he doing?
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. It wouldn't have surprised me. He wouldn't admit it. It wouldn't surprise me that if he went into his garage dressed in full goalie equipment and was like mentally going through making saves. That's how crazy he is.
There is nothing strange now, though. If that helps him get through the day, then good on him. Let's go to Amit in Cincinnati. Look at us playing in the Midwest. Amit, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Doing the best we can, Amit.
All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for, I guess, keeping things relatively normal for us. I can tell you personally from my standpoint, I'm a nephrologist dealing on the front lines with the COVID-19 and having to be able to listen to you guys kind of keeps my day a little bit normal. So I appreciate that.
Well, forget about us. And thank you for everything you're doing. I mean, the fact that you are battling this thing on the front lines and, I don't know your family situation, but really from us and our station, everybody that we work with, thank you for everything you're doing. Sincerely.
I appreciate that. Well, I'm going to pull a Rick here and lie to your call screener for a second because I was listening to the Schefter thing. So I'm going to say that my original point was probably my last question, but just one thing. The Schefter, what he was saying about, not looking like this is the best idea at this time, I kind of disagree. As somebody who's working there, I think having a little bit of normalcy while not putting people at risk is definitely something that, we should all strive for. At least keep some mental sanity.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like that's our take on the show is the right thing to do is if we can safely move forward with something to distract us a little bit from everything going on, that the appropriate thing is to try to do that. And I think that's what the NFL is attempting to do here.
Okay. And then going back to my original point, I was listening to you guys the other day, and you did those hometown heroes, and you kind of mentioned, I forget his name, Mike Wazowski or whatever the Monsters, Inc. name sounded like. But it reminded me of one of my favorite baseball stats. I thought I'd toss it out to you guys as a trivia question and borrow from Andy a little bit. This was the pitcher who was also a great hitter a couple of days ago. But so Chris and myself, huge Yankee fans, Babe Ruth was the New York Yankees all-time home run leader, but how many New York Yankee pitchers had a better career ERA than Babe Ruth? And bonus points if you can name them.
Career ERA career better than Babe Ruth.
Career ERA better than Babe Ruth. Wow, that's I have no idea.
Now, I mean, I would think that Mariano Rivera has to.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah, how many are there?
One. He's the only one.
So I got it.
Yeah.
Oh, this. I mean, look at this.
The streak continues, Dave. You guys have a great day.
Thank you, and thank you for everything that you're doing. I mean, I shock myself.
Cease to amaze me. And by the way, getting that question wrong yesterday ruined at least 3 hours of my day.
What question did you have wrong?
Who scored the first goal ever against me? I don't know. I didn't know. It's embarrassing.
Really? That embarrassed you?
I just don't like being wrong. Yeah, I was embarrassed. It's like, how do I not remember? I just don't remember it.
You remember the game?
I didn't remember the score of the game. Dinahan had to text me the score of the game. We lost 2-1, and I assisted on our only goal.
Did you remember that you had an assist in that game?
No, I don't remember any of it.
You didn't even remember that?
No, which is a sin. You think I would remember? It's your first NHL game. You think you'd remember it? Nothing.
Well, maybe you blocked it out because it was a loss.
Maybe, I hope so. I mean, I hope that's the only thing going on.
Right? You didn't want to remember. Now, today on ESPN Daily, everything is canceled except WrestleMania. This weekend, fans can watch WWE's big event pre-recorded with no fans. How'd they pull it off and why? That's on ESPN Daily with Mina Kimes. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. So it brings us into our next conversation, 800-919-3776. How do you feel about this, Rick? How do you feel about WrestleMania taking place? Obviously, no fans down in, I guess it's Tampa, right? That's where it's taking place with no one allowed to go at all. Are you okay with this?
I'm okay as long as everyone involved isn't being put at risk. If the proper precautions are being taken and, you know, you go, I mean, as one of the athletes, you know, going in that you're being taken care of and that you're not putting yourself at risk, then, I mean, I guess I'm on board with it. I mean, I would hope and I would imagine that all those different things have gone into making the decision to have it go on.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. As long as they're not putting anybody at risk, I have no problem with WrestleMania moving forward. I think it's good for the sport, and it's good for the country. People need something to watch, man. I mean, it's going on week four, this thing. People are searching for content, and, you know, WrestleMania being on television on Sunday afternoon is a great thing. You know, it gives people an opportunity that might not necessarily watch your sport to tune in. So I think it's the right thing.
The only thing I'll say, and I'm not vehemently opposed to it, as you say, as long as there's no risk. I mean, everything is risky now. You go into the grocery store and you're terrified. You're going, you know, anywhere and you're terrified. There's a risk. It may be minimal, but just putting on an event like this, and I know there's no fans, but you still have the wrestlers. You still have the camera people. It's not like there's going to be four people in Raymond James Stadium. There's going to be people there. So is there no risk? No. Is there limited risk? I would imagine that there's probably very limited risk here.
Yeah, I would imagine. And I know no one would talk about it or you wouldn't say it just because of what's going on. And, you know, the outrage when, you know, you have, you know, people of means, leagues, whatever it is. I mean, getting tested that probably don't necessarily need to get tested. I mean, would you be surprised with the amount of money that the WWE is worth that everyone involved hasn't been tested?
I'm sure they've been tested.
Okay. So, I mean, if everyone's been tested and everyone is negative, then you're doing
Where's
what
the
you
risk?
Need to do.
Where's
Wasn't
the
there a wrestler who pulled out of this thing?
Yeah.
Because he had cancer in the past,
Roman
right?
Reigns. Yeah. He had leukemia. That's Roman Reigns. Yeah, he made the decision, which is smart.
That's a smart decision.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you're a grown adult.
It's in Orlando, Santiago is telling me. So, not that it ultimately matters that much, but yeah, it's gonna be in Orlando. It's a 2-day event, right? Is it Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, 2-day event.
And has it happened yet, or they haven't had it actually happen yet? Because it's not live this weekend.
No, I don't think so I think it's in the can. I think it's already been taped. I think it's already been taped. Rosenberg's the one asked that question. He's actually doing the pre-show stuff. And by the way, Rosenberg, I'm sitting in bed last night, couldn't sleep, and all I kept singing in my mind is Windhorse at Sea. I couldn't get it out of my head.
Catchy. It is catchy, though.
It is. It gets stuck in your head. You can't get rid of it.
Didn't he do a second version of it as well? Yeah, Windhorse in Space.
In Space, right.
Yeah, but the C is the original. That's the OG. That's the one that, that's...
Windhorse in Space!
So good.
Oh, that's priceless.
So good, but so bad when you can't get it out of your head.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, how did it get drummed into your head that you just exploded with that?
I was listening to the K-Show yesterday, and I think they played the clip at a certain point, and then from that, from then on.
Windhorse at sea!
Yeah, thanks, Santiago. And I couldn't sleep, and that just kept going through my head.
So how many, we have 16 matches on the card this weekend in Orlando.
Yeah, I'll probably watch it. I mean, I was watching old WrestleManias the other day.
Now, is this still a pay-per-view vehicle, or are they giving this away for free?
I think you can get the WWE Network for free. I think you can sign up for a free, I want to say maybe a, I don't know, don't quote me on this, but I think mm-hmm. you get maybe a free month. And then you can view it on the WWE Network, I think.
So you enjoy it enough that you will watch it this weekend?
Yeah, I'll probably tune in. I'll probably check it out. I don't know why I wouldn't. I mean, there's nothing else going
on. You're certainly going to have time. It's at least something sporting that you can take in.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, too, speaking of WrestleMania, because Gronk is going to host it, I was correct, by the way. Masked Singer, the White Tiger, was Gronk.
It was Gronk?
It was Gronk, yes, sir.
Well, you said that was the easiest spot in the history of anything, right?
Easiest. Like, I mean, you could tell by how he moved. He didn't have to sing. You could just tell by how he moved that it was him.
Wasn't one of them Sarah Palin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And she sang, I like big butts and I cannot lie. It was terrific.
Oh, my God.
And they actually kept her on afterwards. She got voted off, which I think they do on purpose, just to keep you, like, because you don't know, like, what kind of celebrity is going to be on the show. So they always have, like, a couple big ones that go out early for, it doesn't seem like for any reason, but just to prove to you that they have like legit celebrities. And what they usually do is once you take your mask off, so you'll be unmasked and they'll have you, the song you sang that episode, they'll have you sing, but they only give you like usually give you a couple seconds of it and then they end the show. When Palin was on, they must have set it up, but it had to have been, but they had her sing the entire, you got to see her sing the entire song again with no mask on. It's great.
And she's good?
She actually was really good. I mean, Santiago could probably pull up some of the sound of it. She actually did a really good job, yeah.
Well, that's nice. So do you look at this WrestleMania, which I guess is already in the can and they'll air it this weekend. Do you look at this as kind of like a big test case for other sports moving forward?
Probably a little bit. I mean, I think what's going on with the Chinese Basketball Association is probably more of an indication of what we can expect here with what they're trying to do. But I mean, if this thing goes off with, I mean, it is well, I mean, there was, if people watch it and it's well received and no one that participated ends up testing positive for the coronavirus, yeah, I would say that's a small,
we can't have that. That would
be a small
such
little
a
win.
Disaster. I mean, if someone gets sick as a result of this event, it would be the worst thing for not only for wrestling fans, not just all around. It would be the absolute worst thing, Chris.
Yeah, but if they come out of this thing incident free,
right? Yes.
Then I think you have the upside of being able to turn people onto your sport that wouldn't necessarily change the channel to that event. So, I mean, I'm with Rick on this one. As long as they do everything that they can to mitigate the risk of all involved, then I don't have a problem with them moving forward with it.
You got everyone involved. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, if you love WWE, love wrestling, I mean, you got Brock Lesnar in the WWE Championship match. You got John Cena, The Undertaker. I mean, you name it. Daniel Bryan. I mean, everyone is in this.
Look at you. You know, you pretend you keep an arm's distance from the wrestling, but you seem to know an awful lot about it.
You got Dolph, by the way, because we never did this because you refused to watch the Tiger King. If you watch, if anyone listening, I'm sure there's plenty of people that already know this, but Dave, if you do turn on WrestleMania because your kids want to watch it or you just want to check it out, Dolph Ziggler, if they're going to have, they're definitely going to have it, he could play Doc Antle. I'm telling you right now, it'd be perfect in the Tiger King.
Dolph Ziggler is his name?
Doc Antle, yep.
Yeah, and Doc Antle's the character in Tiger King. He's the one with the harem of women that, I mean, he's a savage. I mean, I don't even know how to explain him. He's the one that's responsible. Doc Antle's the one responsible for having all, like, for Britney Spears' VMA thing, for Dr. Doolittle, like, he supplied the animals.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and he's, he, It's tough to describe.
He's a little strange, man. To have everybody that works for you call you Bhagavan, that's a little weird.
I would think almost everyone on the show is a little bit strange.
Yeah, but he's got like three or four different girlfriends. They all live in different houses in the neighborhood he lives in.
I was under the impression that any women that worked there were essentially his girlfriends.
Yeah, and then he rides around an elephant in the neighborhood.
It's crazy. He rides around an elephant?
Yes.
Yes, like he's riding in the neighborhood on an elephant.
That's interesting.
And he renames all of his female employees once they start working there.
All right, here's the best way to describe him, Dave. Here's the best way to describe him. So close your eyes for a quick second, because I know you know who I'm talking about. So if the Booms had a baby with Eddie Scazzeri, that's what Doc Antle would look like.
That's a very interesting look. A very interesting look.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.